Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 40. Joseph, you'll recall, has resisted temptation, and his reward for doing the right thing is that he gets falsely accused of a crime and thrown into prison. Now, the Lord is with him there, and the Lord is blessing him. Even in prison, he is being blessed by God. Genesis chapter 40, this is God's word. "After this, the king of Egypt's cupbearer and baker offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guards in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guards assigned Joseph to them as their personal attendant, and they were in custody for some time. The king of Egypt's cupbearer and baker, who were confined in the prison, each had a dream. Both had a dream on the same night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they looked distraught, so he asked Pharaoh's officers, who were in custody with him in his master's house, 'Why do you look so sad today?' 'We had dreams,' they said to him, 'but there's no one to interpret them.' Then Joseph said to them, 'Don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams.' So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph. 'In my dream, there was a vine in front of me. On the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms came out, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand.' 'This is the interpretation,' Joseph said to him. 'The three branches are 3 days. In just 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. You will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand the way you used to when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well for you, remember that I was with you. Please show kindness to me by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon.' When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was positive, he said to Joseph, 'I also had a dream. Three baskets of white bread were on my head. In the top basket were all sorts of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head.' 'This is its interpretation,' Joseph replied. 'The three baskets are 3 days. In just 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from off you and hang you on a tree. Then the birds will eat the flesh from your body.' On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he gave a feast for all his servants. He elevated the chief cupbearer and the chief baker among his servants. Pharaoh restored the chief cupbearer to his position as cupbearer, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But Pharaoh hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had explained to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Wow. I mean, that's a pretty dramatic story, isn't it? Joseph is in the dungeon. A dungeon is like a really bad basement. I don't know what your experience with basements has been. Mine has been varied. In one of the houses that I lived in as a child, we had a basement that had electric train set up and all kinds of neat fun stuff. That's where my toy chest was as a preschooler, and the basement was a fun place. In another house that we lived in when I was a child, I was not allowed to go down under the house because even though there was a water pump down there and a sump pump down there and a tank down there and some other stuff down there, I guess a furnace maybe, I was not allowed down there because it was basically considered an unsafe place. And I got a couple of looks in there, and I totally was willing to comply with that. No desire to go down there. Well, a dungeon is a below ground place, and it's not pretty. There's no recreational equipment. It is dark. It is dank. It is ugly. It is smelly. And because water doesn't run uphill, if it is peopled with prisoners, you can imagine what the facilities are, and this would be an unpleasant place to be. That's where Joseph was. And again, he was there because he'd been falsely accused of a crime. But Potiphar, his master, instead of killing him, had him thrown in the dungeon. And he soon was in charge of the dungeon. Okay, now that may not be the thing you'd most like to be in charge of. He had to live there in the dungeon with the prisoners, but at least he was in charge. And he did his job well, and God blessed him, and God was with him in the dungeon. Don't ever forget, whatever circumstances you end up in, however difficult and dark and smelly it may be, if you belong to the Lord, you're not alone. He will meet you right there in that situation. And you need to know that. So Joseph has done well in prison. And this prison, this dungeon, is basically underneath the house where he had been a slave. When it says that the captain of the guard, the prison was there, and the captain of the guard put him in charge of the two servants of the king who were put down there in the dungeon also. Okay? Who was the captain of the guard? Well, that was Potiphar. Okay? Potiphar, if you go back and read the previous chapter, Potiphar was the captain of the guard. So this prison is basically on Potiphar's property, and he, instead of killing Joseph, has again allowed Joseph to have responsibility. That doesn't call him Potiphar in this chapter, but it refers to him as the captain of the guard. In the previous chapter, it says that's Potiphar. Got it? As I said previously, I think Potiphar doubted his wife's account of what had occurred, but he was still angered by the whole situation and couldn't just let it go by as if nothing had happened. But Joseph's life has been spared. He's there in the prison, and he's being faithful. He doesn't like it there. He wants out. But while he's there, he's doing his best, and he's excelling. God is giving him success as a prisoner in a dungeon. I'm emphasizing this because we've got to try and wrap our minds around this if we're going to understand some of what happens to us in our lives. Because we tend to feel like unless we're getting what we want, God isn't with us. I mean, if I pray about something and it doesn't happen, I feel like God's against me. What that's really saying is I want to be God. I want to be in charge, and I want God to work for me. I want God to do what I want him to do. And so if God isn't serving my goals, my aims, my ends, then I'm just not on good terms with God. My kingdom come, my will be done on earth, even as I imagine it should be. That is messed up. Tons of people basically want to learn from Scripture how to get God to do what they want. What do I have to do in order to get God to carry out my will? Okay? Teach me how to pray so that I can manipulate the King of the universe. Teach me how to behave so that God will be obligated to do what I say. You asked me to do this, I did this, now my turn. I want you to do this. That's not worship. That's not a right relationship with God. We need to come to Him as Jesus taught us to pray and say, may your name be hallowed. May your kingdom come. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That should be our prayer. Wanting God's will to be carried out in our lives. And sometimes God's will for some of His children is to spend some time in the dungeon. Well, why in the world would He do that? Well, we don't always know. But in this case, it is the shortest route to becoming ruler of Egypt. Okay? Joseph, who was bought by Potiphar and held as a slave by Potiphar and put in the prison by Potiphar, is about to catapult into a position that's way over Potiphar. Okay? But in order to get there, he's got to meet the cupbearer. And in order to meet the cupbearer, he's got to be in the dungeon. And you know who else has to be in the dungeon? The cupbearer. God is working all these things together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. Cupbearer, no indication that he loves God. But he's a piece of the puzzle. And God has it all mapped out. God doesn't make this stuff up as He goes along. God doesn't say, what are they going to do? Oh, all right, let's see. How can I use that? No. Before the foundation of the world, He chose us in Christ Jesus. God has a plan. It's for our good. It's all going to work out fine. Don't think that God says, what? When did that happen? Corrie ten Boom used to say, Corrie ten Boom was a wonderful Christian lady from the Netherlands who was a prisoner of the Nazis because she and her family sheltered Jews from death. And Corrie used to say, there's never a panic in heaven. Never a panic in heaven. God isn't nervous. He's not on pins and needles waiting to see if things turn out okay. God is working His purpose out. And you and I need to know it. So we may not understand what's going on. We may not feel that it's just for us to be in the dungeon. But God is working out His purpose. Don't fight it. Embrace God's promises and know that He's working out a plan that is good for you. If you love God, it's going to go well. Say, going to live in a dungeon doesn't seem like it's going well. Well, that's because you're not seeing the big picture. Okay? So, while Joseph is seeking to honor the Lord there in the dungeon, two of the king's top servants displease the king, the Pharaoh, and they are now put in the dungeon. And the captain of the guard, Potiphar, assigns Joseph to take care of them. He put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guards in the prison where Joseph was confined, and the captain of the guards assigned Joseph to them as their personal attendant, and they were in custody for some time. Okay? Don't know how long it was. It was days, but that expression can mean a variety of things. They were there for days, okay? For some time. And they had a dream. They each had a dream. I had a dream last night. I did too. What was yours? Well, this is what happened, but I don't know what it means. Well, I wish there was someone we could ask. And Joseph comes around to check on them, and both of them look very concerned. They're troubled. Anybody here have recurring dreams? Okay. I used to have a dream that I was separated from when I was a preschooler. I need to clarify. It was when I was a preschooler. I used to have a dream that I was separated from my mom, and I was trying to catch up with her, and I was calling after her. It's called separation anxiety. I was calling after her, and she didn't hear me, and she would like go around the corner. And I would run to where she was, and I would look, and she'd be going around the next corner. I couldn't keep up with my mom. Okay? And it was this horrible feeling. Had another dream that I was falling. How many of you ever had a dream that you were falling? Yeah. How many of you woke up on the floor? Yeah, okay. So it's like, I'm falling. Oh, I was falling. But these guys have these dreams, and they're hoping somebody can explain their dreams to them. And Joseph says, I can do that. No. He said, God can do that. Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. Well, now, wait a minute. You just said the interpretation belongs to God. Why would we tell you? See if you can connect the dots. Is Joseph claiming to be God? No. Joseph knows God. Let me tell you something. If you know God, you can face this life unafraid. If you know God, whatever is happening, you know, is within his sovereign control. Whatever's going on. We had a young man here a number of years ago who, after he'd left us, still in the community, he developed a brain tumor. It was inoperable. And it was expected medically to kill him. Everybody who cared about him was just shocked and dismayed. And his response was, it's okay. One of two things is going to happen. Either God's going to heal me and I'll have a great testimony, or I'll be in heaven. Either way, I'll be fine. God healed him. Amazing. He's married. I did his wedding. He's father of two children. It's amazing. But his attitude in the midst of a horrible, difficult thing was one of faith. And that's the way we need to live. We need to know that no matter what happens, if we know God, we know the one who's in charge of the universe. God doesn't say, well, look, I'm sorry, I got a lot on my plate right now, I just can't help you. God doesn't say, well, I'd love to help. I know about your situation, and believe me, my heart goes out to you, but I've got 80% of my energies already committed over here, and I've got to try and diligently divide this 20% over here, and I just don't know that I have enough left in order to do what you need. God never says that. God knows everything, not just about the present, not just how many hairs are on top of your head. God knows everything about the future, and God has all power. How much power does God have? All power. All power. So there's no shortage. There's no shortage with God ever. And we need to know that. So, Joseph says, interpretations belong to God. Tell me your dream. So, the first one, the cupbearer, tells him the dream. And Joseph replies, doesn't say Joseph says, well, give me, I'm going to have to go take a few days to fast and pray and figure this out. Joseph replies to him and says, this is what it means. 3 days from now, you're going to get your job back. And when you do, please get me out of here. Okay? You're going to get to talk to Pharaoh. Tell him about me. I'm being ill-treated by being imprisoned in a dungeon. I shouldn't even be in Egypt. I want to go back home. I miss my family. Well, not the brothers, but nevertheless. Joseph wants out of there. And he thinks, Pharaoh could get me out of here. I can't, Potiphar's not going to let me go. But he says, but Pharaoh could get me out of here. And you have the opportunity to speak to Pharaoh. Joseph has a plan. He's thinking this is going to be perfect. He tells the chief cupbearer, you're going to get your job back in 3 days. Pharaoh is going to lift up your head and give you back your job. The baker says, let me tell you my dream. Here's what I dreamed. Joseph replies, your head's going to be lifted in 3 days also, off of you. Your body's going to be hung, and the birds of the air are going to come and eat the flesh from your body. That's a very different outcome. Both dreams were fulfilled exactly as God had declared through Joseph. Joseph was prophesying the word of the Lord to these men. And it came to pass exactly as God said it would. Joseph spoke it, but God was the one who was giving the message. So, Joseph is thinking, you know, how soon is this guy going to have a chance to speak to Pharaoh on my behalf? How soon? 3 days. Just 3 days. And Joseph is thinking, man, 3 days, four maybe. I mean, he may not want to tell Pharaoh about me first day back. But, I mean, you know, it's going to happen because I mean, he's got to be impressed with the fact that I have this connection with God and all. And the fact that what I said would happen happened, well, that's got to be an indication that, you know, I'm telling the truth when I say I shouldn't be here and I'm falsely accused and I want to go back home. I'm not asking for a job here outside the prison. I just want to go home. Please. 3 days go by and he's out. The cupbearer is out. Back with Pharaoh. He's got his job back. And Joseph's waiting. And Joseph's waiting. And Joseph's waiting. You know what it says? Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. He forgot. How could it happen? Wasn't God's time. If the cupbearer had told Pharaoh and Pharaoh had said, okay, well, I'll let him out. He can go back home. Countless people would have starved to death. Because Joseph wouldn't have been around to interpret Pharaoh's dream and become the ruler of Egypt. If Joseph had gotten what he wanted when he wanted it, it wouldn't have just been Joseph that missed out. It would have been multitudes of people. God knew what he was doing. God knew what it was going to take in order to get Joseph's family, including his father, to come to Egypt and live there so that generations later they would be slaves and God would deliver them in a magnificent way that would demonstrate his glory and would provide a picture of salvation for all the generations to come. God knew what he was doing. The God who knew what he was doing then still knows what he's doing today. And if you're looking at things and saying, I just don't understand why God doesn't give me what I want, well, okay, you don't understand. But that doesn't mean God doesn't know what he's doing. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're praying for. I do know this. If you're praying to God, you're praying to the ruler of the universe who loves his children better than we love ourselves. You can trust in him no matter how dark it seems, no matter how smelly it seems, no matter how unfair it seems, God is at work in the lives of his children, working all things for our good and for his glory.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
www.wheresvalleyranch.org.